Okay, let's unpack this. Imagine a company that helps over a million businesses get ready for the workday. You know, from uniforms employees wear right down to the soap in the restrooms. It's a business that's basically everywhere, yet, well, it often goes completely unnoticed. Today, we're taking a deep dive into Cintas Corporation, ticker symbol CTS. They're a true powerhouse in North American uniform rental and facility services. If you've ever wondered what makes a seemingly, simple business incredibly successful and resilient, well, you're in for some surprising insights. Could change how you look at the everyday world around you, actually.
Yeah, exactly. And what we're looking to understand today is how Cintas has built such a formidable competitive position. We'll explore why its business model generates such predictable recurring revenue and what its really consistent financial performance tells us about its underlying strengths, plus how it leverages, cutting-edge technology in what seems like a very traditional industry. And of course, we'll also consider the key risks that, well, any business faces and what Cintas premium valuation implies for you as a curious learner in this space.
Right. Our deep dive today is based on some really comprehensive equity research analysis. We've done a deep look into everything from Cintas's latest fiscal year 2025 results to their long-term strategic initiatives and, crucially, their competitive landscape. We've sifted through all the numbers, the insights, basically to give you a shortcut to being well-informed about this surprisingly fascinating company. So grab a fresh cup of coffee, maybe settle in, and let's get started. Okay, so when you hear Cintas, you probably think uniforms. And you're absolutely right, that's a huge, very visible part of what they do. But what exactly does this nearly 100-year-old company really do? It's much broader and, frankly, much more foundational than you might imagine at first glance. Cintas actually started way, way back in 1929, right before the Great Depression. Initially, in a much humbler business, laundering and reselling chemical-soaked rags to industrial clients. Kind of gritty beginnings, right? From those very practical roots, it's grown into a Fortune 500 company, now headquartered in Mason, Ohio. And it currently helps over a million businesses across North America prepare for their workday. Their overall purpose is incredibly fundamental to business operations. Their offerings are specifically designed to enhance their customers' image, ensure safety, maintain cleanliness, and help with compliance. So it's about much more than just a clean shirt. It's really about enabling businesses to operate effectively, look professional, and stay safe.
Exactly. And to truly understand Cintas, you really need to break down its operations because it's not just one thing. It's structured into two primary reportable segments, plus there's an all other category. And each of these contributes significantly to its diversified and very stable revenue streams. The largest and core segment, making up roughly, what, three quarters of their total revenue in fiscal 2025, that's uniform, rental, and facility services. This is the bit most people recognize. It includes the rental, laundering, and servicing of a huge array of garments. Everything from standard work uniforms to highly specialized stuff like flame-resistant and high-visibility clothing, the kind you see on construction workers or utility crews. But it's definitely not just uniforms that's key. Within this same segment, Cintas provides comprehensive facility services. This means the rental and cleaning of things like entrance mats, industrial mops, shop towels, those thick, absorbent cloths you see in garages and factories. They also offer crucial restroom cleaning services and continuously supply essential products like soap, hand sanitizer, paper towels, even air fresheners. If you looked at their business mix within this segment, say, for the last quarter of fiscal 2025, you'd see how incredibly diversified it is. About half the revenue comes from uniform rental, nearly 20% from dust control and mats, about 16% from hygiene products, 10% from linen services, then smaller amounts from shop towels and catalog sales. This broad coverage within just one segment truly demonstrates how deeply embedded Cintas is in a business's daily operations. They really are like the silent partner helping millions of businesses run smoothly day in, day out.
Right.
And beyond that massive core, we have the first aid and safety services segment. Now, this is significant, and importantly, it's a high-growth component of Cintas's overall business. Their offerings here are also route-based, just like the uniforms. Makes sense, right? Leverage the network. They focus on the crucial, often overlooked task of delivering and restocking first aid products for businesses. Think about those wall-mounted first aid cabinets you see in offices or factories. Cintas handles making sure they're always stocked, compliant, ready to go. They also provide personal protective equipment, PPE, like safety glasses or gloves, eyewash stations, even automated external defibrillators, AEDs, those life-saving devices. And on top of that, they offer essential safety training. This segment has consistently delivered strong double-digit growth, consistently outpacing the core uniform rental business. And what's really fascinating is that it also contributes disproportionately to Cintas's margin expansion, meaning it helps make the entire company more profitable because its products have a naturally favorable profitability profile, they're relatively high margin, and the delivery leverages those existing routes perfectly.
So they're adding more value per truck stop, basically.
Exactly. And then there's the all other category. This primarily consists of fire protection services, which, again, is a route-based service. Surprise, surprise. It includes the inspection, testing, and maintenance of critical fire safety equipment. Think fire extinguishers, sprinkler systems, emergency exit lights, all that crucial stuff. This category also encompasses uniform direct sale, which is simply the outright one-time sale of uniforms to customers who prefer to own rather than rent. So yeah, while uniforms are absolutely central to their brand image, Cintas is truly this multifaceted provider of essential business services, covering everything from the shirt on an employee's back to the fire extinguisher on the wall. It's quite comprehensive.
Okay, here's where it gets really interesting. And it's a core reason why Cintas is such a, well, compelling business to look at. They're not just selling products, they're selling a continuous, reliable service.
Yeah.
And it's all built on what they call a route-based model. Think about your weekly trash pickup, maybe, or your home newspaper delivery, if you still get one. It's consistent, it's scheduled, it's incredibly reliable, almost invisible in its regularity. Cintas applies this same principle to business essentials. The vast majority of their revenue, particularly from that huge uniform rental and facility services segment, comes from multi-year service contracts, typically lasting, what, 5 years?
That's typical, yeah, 5 years.
So this isn't a one-off transaction. It's a long-term, continuous relationship. Here's how it works. On a regular schedule, maybe weekly, maybe biweekly, their route service representative, their SSR, arrives at your business. They deliver the clean items, could be uniforms, freshly laundered floor mats, fully stocked soap dispensers, whatever you need. Simultaneously, they pick up the soiled items for laundering, repair, or replenishment. And they expertly manage the customer's inventory to ensure they always have what they need on hand. It's a seamless, ongoing loop, designed for ultimate convenience and minimal hassle for the customer.
And this leads to a really powerful embedded customer dynamic. Once you're a Cintas customer, it's incredibly difficult to step away. It just is. Why? Because the operational hurdles, the friction to switch providers are substantial, almost prohibitively so, for many businesses. Imagine you run a business and you decide to source a brand new uniform vendor. First, you'd have to negotiate all new terms, then manage the complex logistics of collecting all of Cintas' owned assets, like their specially designed uniforms, their soap dispensers, their first aid cabinets, collecting all that from every single employee or location. It's a nightmare. And then simultaneously, you'd have to distribute brand new assets from a different provider.
Sounds incredibly disruptive.
It is. This process is inherently disruptive to a business's daily operations, and it carries significant risk of service interruption. For a company that relies on its employees looking professional, or its restrooms being hygienic, or its first aid kits being stocked, that disruption is simply too costly and risky to undertake without a really compelling reason. Consequently, customers face genuinely high switching costs. It's not just theoretical, and this directly contributes to Cintas's industry-leading customer retention rates, which we'll definitely get into more detail on later, but suffice to say, they are exceptionally good at holding on to their customers, effectively making them a very sticky business.
Sticky, yeah, that's a good word for it. So where do they manage all this complexity and serve over a million businesses? You said North America mostly.
Predominantly North America, yes. Over 90% of their revenue is generated right here in the U.S., with a significant and growing presence in Canada as well. And to achieve this incredible scale and reach, Cintas has built out a truly massive physical network and infrastructure. As of May 2025, they operate approximately 12,100 local delivery routes. Just think about that number. These routes fan out daily from their nearly 500 operational facilities, laundries, service centers, that kind of thing, all supported by 12 large distribution centers. That's a huge, incredibly intricate logistical web designed to serve businesses from the smallest local shops to massive corporate campuses.
Yeah, and despite this vast presence and being the definitive market leader, Cintas views its growth potential is still incredibly significant. And this is where it gets really interesting if you're thinking about their future prospects. Why? because they currently serve only about 1 million of an estimated 16 million businesses in North America.
Wow, so 15 million businesses they don't serve yet.
Exactly. That means there's a massive, largely untapped market of roughly 15 million businesses still out there that could potentially benefit from their services. And critically, Cintas reports that approximately 60% of its new business comes from customers who weren't previously outsourcing these services. They call this the unvended market.
The unvended market.
Okay. Right. So this isn't just about stealing market share from existing competitors like Aramark or UniFirst. It's about expanding the total addressable market, the whole pie. They're convincing businesses to outsource tasks they currently manage, often inefficiently and sometimes expensively, in-house. It's a powerful testament to the value proposition of their service, and it gives them this massive runway for continued growth.
That's fascinating. So they're not just competing. They're actively converting businesses to the whole idea of outsourcing these essential services. Okay, so this unique business model, this expansive footprint, it clearly sets Cintas apart. But how does it operate within its industry, and what makes it truly dominant against its competitors?
Yeah, the uniform rental and facility services industry. It might not sound glamorous, right? You won't see it splash across tech headlines. And it's certainly a mature industry. People have needed uniforms and clean workplaces for a long time. But it's large, absolutely essential, and importantly, it's still growing. When we talk numbers, the U.S. uniform rental industry alone is estimated to be around $20 billion. That's a big market. Looking globally, the uniform rental services market is projected to grow from roughly $6.5 billion in 2023 to about $11.2 billion by 2031. That reflects a compound annual growth rate, a CAGR, of about 7.7%. Pretty healthy. Other forecasts we've seen range even wider, maybe from around 4% to over 10% annually, which still points to consistent and, well, healthy expansion for such a foundational business.
And this sustained growth is really driven by several fundamental shifts in how businesses operate, changes that Cintas is perfectly positioned to capitalize on. Think about it. Why would companies increasingly turn to services like Cintas? First, there's the clear and, I think, accelerating trend of outsourcing non-core functions. Businesses, whether they're big or small, want to focus on their primary activities, their competitive advantages. They're increasingly offloading services like uniform management, cleaning, safety supplies to specialists like Cintas. It just frees up their time, capital, and mental energy.
Makes sense. Focus on what you do best.
Exactly. Second, and this has been significantly amplified post-COVID, is the heightened emphasis on hygiene and safety in the workplace. There's just a much greater awareness, a greater demand for professional laundering, sanitation, and safety compliance services. It's often not just a nice to have anymore. It's a necessity for employee confidence, customer confidence. Third, corporate branding and professionalism remain incredibly important. Uniforms, clean facilities, a safe environment. They enhance employee appearance and contribute significantly to a company's image, how customers perceive them. Builds trust. Finally, there's a strong argument for cost efficiency. For many businesses, renting uniforms and facility services can be significantly more cost-effective than trying to do it all in-house, especially when you consider the upfront capital needed, the operational complexity, the ongoing labor costs. It adds up fast. And you're right, while demand for these services does naturally correlate with overall employment levels, I mean, more employees generally mean more uniforms. The essential nature of what Cintas provides also offers a defensive characteristic. It's resilient. Even in economic downturns, businesses still need to maintain basic cleanliness, safety standards, a professional image. They can't just stop providing these fundamental services, which gives Cintas a certain resilience that many other businesses, frankly, lack during tough times.
Okay, so it's a vital, growing, and pretty resilient industry. Who are the big players then? You mentioned it's quite concentrated at the top.
It is. Very concentrated. We often talk about the big three, Cintas, Aramark, and UniFirst. And within that trio, Cintas is the definitive market leader. They essentially command an estimated, 31%? Roughly a third of the U.S. uniform rental industry.
A third of the market. Wow.
Yeah, it's substantial. Now, let's quickly look at its closest competitors. Aramark, ticker ARNK. They're a much larger company overall, but highly diversified. They're big in food services, facilities management, and uniforms. This broader business mix often results in lower overall profit margins for Aramark compared to Cintas, simply because they operate in some much lower margin lines of business, like food service. Then you have UniFirst, ticker UNF. They are a more direct competitor to Syntys. Their primary focus is on uniforms and workwear programs, but they're significantly smaller in scale than Syntys, although they still have a notable North American presence with, I think, over 270 service locations. Still a major player. But beyond these big three, the rest of the market is highly fragmented, just filled with many smaller regional and local operators, which, as we'll see, provides ample opportunity for further consolidation, and that's a huge growth lever for Syntys.
Okay. So that fragmentation is actually an opportunity for the big guys.
Precisely. And this fragmentation, combined with significant hurdles for new players, explains why the big players like Syntys stayed dominant. It's just not easy to start a uniform rental business from scratch. There are very high barriers to entry protecting the incumbents. First, it's incredibly capital intensive. You need a huge upfront investment in specialized industrial laundries, a large fleet of delivery vehicles, a vast inventory. It's millions and millions. Second, there's immense logistical complexity. Managing a large-scale route-based network requires incredibly sophisticated systems, routing, inventory management, customer service across a wide area. You really can't just wing it. And perhaps most critically, new entrants struggle tremendously to achieve the necessary route density.
Right, that density point again.
Yeah, it's crucial. Imagine you're running a delivery service. Right. If you only have one customer on a street, you drive all that way for just one stop. Very inefficient. But if you have 10 customers on that same street, your driver's salary, your fuel costs, your vehicle depreciation, all those fixed costs get spread across 10 deliveries. Much better economics. Syntys already has that density built up over decades. In any given city or industrial park where Syntys has high penetration, a new or smaller competitor would effectively have to operate at a loss for a significant period just to build up enough customer density to become profitable. It's a true geographic fortress that actively defends their market share and makes it nearly impossible for new players to compete effectively on cost. This reality leads directly to a trend of industry consolidation, where large players acquire smaller ones. These are often highly synergistic acquisitions because acquiring a local operator immediately adds customers to existing efficient routes. It instantly boosts profitability. Syntys's $2.2 billion acquisition of G&K Services back in 2017 is a landmark example of this strategy. It really solidified their market leadership and amplified their existing route density.
That explanation of route density really makes it click. It's not just about having a lot of customers. It's about where those customers are clustered that makes all the difference. Almost like a localized network effect, but with trucks. Okay, let's put some numbers to this, because when you look at the financials side by side, Syntys truly stands out from its competitors. We're looking at fiscal year 2025 data here, and some of these figures are just, well, astonishing. For instance, Syntys has by far the highest market cap at over $87 billion. That dwarfs Aramark and UniFirst. But it's the profitability metrics where Syntys really shines, demonstrating these operational advantages we've been talking about. Their gross margin is an incredible 50.0%. Compare that to Aramark's much lower 8.2% and UniFirst's 36.2%. 50%.
Yeah, that 50% gross margin is a stark difference, isn't it? And it points directly to Syntys's immense operational advantages and, frankly, their pricing power. Think about that. Half of every dollar of revenue they bring in goes directly to gross profit before you even get to operating expenses. That is a remarkable testament to their efficiency and their ability to command prices in the market. Especially impressive during a time of general inflation where many companies are really struggling with rising costs.
Absolutely. It speaks volumes about their strong pricing power and the incredible operational efficiencies they built into their business. It's not accidental. And then if you look further down the income statement, their operating margin. Syntys reported a staggering 22.8%. Compare that to Aramark's 4.1% and UniFirst's 8.1%. That's more than double their closest direct competitor, UniFirst.
This is where Syntys truly shines, as you said. That operating margin, more than double UniFirst's, it clearly shows how incredibly efficiently they convert revenue into actual operating profit. They are simply in a different lead in terms of operational excellence and cost control. It's almost like they've found a way to run this complex industrial business with the kind of profit margins you might expect from, I don't know, a software company sometimes. It's that good.
It really is. And the trend continues right down to the bottom line. Syntys's net margin is 17.53%, while Aramark's is a slim 1.5% and UniFirst is 6.2%. Big difference. And finally, their return on equity, or ROE, which measures how much profit a company generates for each dollar of shareholder equity. Syntys is at an impressive 41.21%. Compare that to Aramark's 11.96% and UniFirst's 7.15%.
And this last metric, ROE, really indicates Syntys's exceptional efficiency in utilizing shareholder capital to generate profits. They generate significantly more profit from the same amount of equity compared to their peers, underscoring the strength of their business model and the durability of the competitive moat. It's a sign of a truly well-managed and highly profitable enterprise firing on all cylinders.
These numbers are genuinely jaw-dropping for an industrial services company. Really are. But what's the secret sauce? We've touched on it, but let's dive deeper. What are the specific durable competitive advantages, the moat, that allows Syntys to consistently outperform so dramatically?
Okay, if there's one concept to really, really grasp about Syntys' dominance, it's route density. We keep coming back to it because it's that important. Think of it as the ultimate local advantage, the absolute cornerstone of their competitive moat. The core idea is simple, yet incredibly powerful. Syntys generates revenue when its trucks are stopped servicing customers, not when they're driving long distances between locations. Time is money, right? This creates a powerful localized scale advantage. Imagine a delivery route, whether it's for milk or uniforms. That route has certain fixed costs: the driver's salary, the fuel, the vehicle depreciation, maintenance. Now, each additional customer you add to that existing route contributes revenue with very high incremental margins because the marginal cost to service that new customer is minimal. You're already sending the truck down that street. Your driver is already there.
So each extra stop, it's almost pure profit, relatively speaking.
Very high margin profit, yes. Syntys's extensive network of over 12,100 routes allows it to operate with a density that competitors find incredibly difficult, if not impossible, to match. We talk about the geographic fortress idea. It's real. In any given city or industrial park where Syntys has high penetration, a new or smaller competitor would have to burn cash, operate at a loss for a significant period, just to build up enough customer density to maybe become profitable in those same areas. It actively defends their market share and profitability.
So it's not just about being big overall. It's about being incredibly efficient at that hyper-local level. That's a crucial distinction. But beyond just local density, Syntys leverages its massive national scale too, right, to create even more advantages.
Absolutely. We're talking serious operational prowess and supply chain efficiency here. Consider their purchasing power. They source an astounding 42 million uniform units annually from 3,000 suppliers globally. Plus, they operate their own manufacturing plants and distribution centers. They have vertical integration where it makes sense. This sheer volume gives them significant leverage on raw materials like cotton and polyester and finished goods, allowing them to secure better prices and more reliable supply, which directly contributes to bolstering those already impressive gross margins. It's an economy of scale many smaller players simply can't dream of achieving.
Right. They can buy cheaper because they buy so much.
Exactly. And they also have incredibly sophisticated supply chain management systems in place. These incorporate traceability and due diligence. They require their strategic suppliers to adhere to a strict vendor code of conduct. This isn't just about efficiency or cost. It ensures reliability, ethical sourcing, and minimizes disruptions and potential reputational risks. It gives them a very robust backbone for their entire operation. And this operational excellence, the smooth machine, directly translates to incredibly loyal customers. Why does this matter for you, the listener, whether you're a business owner or just curious about how successful companies operate? Because it creates an incredibly sticky business model. We mentioned this before. Syntys boasts an all-time high customer retention rate of 96%. 96%.
That is astonishingly high.
It really is. This is a figure that is significantly higher than the sub-90% retention rates reported by its main competitors. This high level of stickiness is a critical asset for Syntys. It provides them with an incredibly stable and predictable revenue base, which is invaluable for long-term planning, for investment decisions. It also drastically reduces their customer acquisition costs because they're simply not losing customers at the same rate as others. They don't have that leaky bucket problem, meaning they don't have to spend as much constantly chasing new ones just to stand still. And frankly, it's a powerful validation of their value proposition. Customers stay because the service is excellent, reliable, and, well, difficult and costly to replace.
So what drives that loyalty specifically? Is it just the hassle of switching?
That's part of it, the high switching costs. But the secret, I think, is also in the human element. Those regular in-person interactions by their route service representatives, the SSRs, build incredibly strong relationships over time. It transforms the service from just a transaction, you know, dropping off uniforms, picking up mats, into what Syntys calls an embedded partnership. They become an indispensable part of their customers' daily operations. Trusted advisors, almost.
That makes sense. It's that trust and personal connection built over years that makes them so hard to displace. Okay. And Syntys isn't just relying on old school trucks and uniforms, right? They're investing heavily in technology to make their moat even wider, even deeper. This isn't just modernization for modernization's sake. It sounds strategic, a deliberate move to reinforce their competitive advantages.
Absolutely strategic. One of the cornerstones of their digital transformation has been the implementation of a new SAP enterprise system, a massive undertaking. This system has allowed them to consolidate data from across their vast network, optimize things like inventory sharing between facilities, which is huge for efficiency, and significantly enhance overall operational visibility and control, all of which directly contributes to expanding their impressive margins.
Okay, SAP is a big back-end system. What about on the front lines, the routes?
Great question. There they have the Smart Truck platform, which is their proprietary logistics system. It uses real-time data, GPS, and AI-driven scheduling algorithms to optimize delivery routes, basically ensuring the most efficient path for every single truck, every single day. The tangible impact of this is huge. They've managed to cut annual mileage by 12% and related emissions by 15%. Which not only reduces costs, fuel, maintenance, and is great for the environment, but it also increases the precious time the representatives can actually spend with customers face-to-face, strengthening those embedded partnerships.
Less driving, more talking. Makes sense.
Exactly. And looking further ahead, Syntys is actively migrating its legacy applications to Google Cloud. They're partnering with Google. And they're developing a generative AI-powered internal knowledge center. The future impact of this could be really exciting. It's designed to empower their employees, especially those SSRs, with faster access to information, which should lead to improved customer service, higher productivity, and even more personalized interactions with their clients using data smartly.
So tech isn't just an add-on. It's becoming core to reinforcing their advantages.
Precisely. These competitive advantages, from the fundamental route density to customer stickiness, and now these advanced technology layers, are truly the bedrock of Syntys' impressive financial performance. So let's look at those numbers again and see how they paint this picture of consistent success that few companies can really match.
Yeah, when we talk about consistent financial performance, Syntys is almost in a league of its own in the business world. This isn't just a good year or two, it's decades of strong results. The company has an absolutely remarkable history. They've increased sales and adjusted earnings per share in 51 of the last 53 years.
51 out of 53. Just pause on that.
It's credible, right? That level of resilience and adaptability across numerous economic cycles, recessions, high inflation, booms, busts, they just keep growing. For their fiscal year 2025, which just ended May 31st, Syntys reported total revenue of $10.34 billion. That marked a healthy 7.7% increase year over year. What's even more impressive, especially if financial analysts watching closely, is their organic revenue growth, which strips out acquisitions and currency fluctuations, giving you a clear picture of the underlying business momentum. That stood at a strong 8.0%.
And that growth wasn't isolated. It was broad-based across their segments, which is what you want to see. The core uniform rental and facility services grew a solid 7.2% organically in the fourth quarter. And those faster-growing ancillary businesses like first aid and safety, exceptional strength, grew 18.5% organically in Q4, while fire protection services grew 12.1%.
So that cross-selling strategy is clearly working.
Absolutely. This broad-based growth confirms that their strategy of cross-selling into existing customer accounts is definitely paying off, especially in those higher growth, often higher margin ancillary businesses. And remember, Syntys doesn't just grow revenue, it grows it profitably, and those profits are consistently expanding. In fiscal 2025, they achieved that all-time high gross margin of 50.0%, an impressive improvement from 48.8% in fiscal 2024. Again, astonishing. Half of every dollar of revenue goes to gross profit. This speaks volumes about their pricing power, their cost control, their operational efficiencies. Especially impressive, as we keep saying, during a time of general inflation where many companies saw margins get squeezed.
It really is a testament to their disciplined management and the strength of that business model. And this translates directly down the income statement. Their operating income for fiscal 2025 grew an impressive 14.1% to $2.36 billion, resulting in that record 22.8% operating margin, up from 21.6% in the prior year.
And that demonstrates powerful operating leverage. For the listener, what that means is that their profits are growing at a faster rate than their revenue. It's like a finely tuned machine. Once you hit a certain scale, every additional dollar of sales contributes significantly more to the bottom line because your fixed costs are largely already covered by the existing business. This is a direct result of their efficient route-based model and their continuous investments in technology and process improvement. Ultimately, net income for fiscal 2025 rose 15.3% to $1.81 billion, with diluted earnings per share, or EPS, increasing an impressive 16.1% to $4.40. These are the kinds of steady, predictable, profitable growth numbers that long-term investors absolutely love to see.
Okay. And for those of you listening who really appreciate a company that generates real cash, because, you know, cash is king, right? Pays the bills, funds growth, returns value. Syntez is a prime example of a cash machine. This consistent, strong free cash flow is what fuels everything else the company does. Their business model, with that recurring revenue, those high incremental margins from route density, and disciplined capital spending, allows it to convert a significant portion of its earnings directly into cold, hard cash. In fiscal 2025, Syntez generated a robust $2.17 billion in cash flow just from operating activities. And even after investing a substantial $408.9 million back into the business for capital expenditures as CapEx, things like new vehicles, laundry equipment upgrades, technology, they still produced approximately $1.6 billion in free cash flow. It's a truly impressive cash-generating engine.
Yeah, it really is. And this strong cash generation directly leads to those impressive returns on capital we talked about earlier, which shows how effectively Syntez uses its assets and its shareholders' money to generate profits. Their return on equity, ROE, is exceptional at 41.21%. Their return on assets, ROA, stands at 19.14%. To put that into perspective again, these metrics are substantially higher than those of their direct competitors, miles higher. This really highlights their wide competitive moat and how efficiently they're utilizing their asset base to drive profitability. They're not just making money, they're making money very efficiently with the capital they have deployed.
And to top it all off, they have a rock-solid balance sheet, which is crucial for stability and flexibility. Syntez consistently maintains an investment-grade balance sheet. That gives them access to cheaper debt and more financial options. They're also very active and disciplined in managing their capital structure. For example, in fiscal 2025, they issued $400 million in senior notes, basically borrowing money long-term at favorable rates, while simultaneously repaying $450 million in maturing notes that were likely at different rates. Smart refinancing. This kind of financial strength provides tremendous benefits. It allows them to make those opportunistic acquisitions without straining their finances. It lets them consistently reinvest in the business for long-term growth and provide reliable shareholder returns, even during periods of economic uncertainty. It just gives them options that weaker companies don't have.
And if you look at their financial summary, say, for the last decade, you can truly see how incredibly consistent this performance has been. It's clearly not a fluke or just a couple of strong years. It's a pattern. If you track their total revenue from, say, 2016 through 2025, you see steady, almost uninterrupted growth year after year. Their gross margin and operating margin show this beautiful upward trend of consistent expansion, climbing from roughly 44% gross margin and 15% operating margin back in 2016, all the way up to that 50% gross and nearly 23% operating in 2025. That's remarkable improvement. Net income and diluted EPS have also climbed steadily, pretty much year in and year out, doubled, tripled over that period. And their free cash flow, while it naturally has some fluctuations year to year based on working capital and CapEx timing, it has generally grown robustly from under $500 million in 2016 to that $1.6 billion in 2025. Their return on equity has also remained consistently strong, often in the high 30s and low 40s percentile. What stands out to me looking at that whole decade is that this isn't just top-line growth, it's increasingly profitable growth,
which indicates a truly well-managed and strategically sound business that gets better as it gets bigger.
I completely agree. For me, what stands out is that resilience. Even in an economy that throws all sorts of curveballs, inflation, supply chain issues, labor shortages, Syntez somehow manages to keep improving its profitability year after year. It's a rare combination of growth and increasing efficiency. Okay, so with such a strong foundation and these stellar financials, how does Syntez plan to keep this momentum going into the future? What's their blueprint for growth?
Right, good question. Syntez isn't resting on its laurels or just hoping to ride market trends. That's clear. Their impressive growth isn't accidental. It's driven by a very clear, deliberate, three-pronged organic growth strategy. First, and perhaps the largest single opportunity, is to expand the market by converting the unvended. As we discussed earlier, their estimate is that a whopping 60% of their new business comes from customers who weren't previously outsourcing their uniform or facility needs. They were doing it all themselves, maybe poorly. So Syntus's mission here is effectively communicating the undeniable value proposition, the cost savings, the sheer convenience, the compliance benefits to those staggering 15 million potentially unserved businesses in North America. This isn't just about competing for an existing slice of the pie. It's about making the whole pie bigger for everyone, but especially capturing the lion's share of that new growth for Syntus.
Growing the market itself, that's ambitious.
It is, but it's where the biggest potential lies. Second, they aim to increase market share within the existing outsourced market. Despite being the clear leader with that 31% share, serving only 1 million of the 16 million total businesses means there's still a long runway for gaining share, particularly from the many smaller, fragmented regional and local competitors that still exist. Syntus's superior scale, their comprehensive service offering, their strong brand recognition give them a significant edge here, allowing them to systematically chip away at competitors' customer bases over time. And third, they focus intensely on penetrating the existing customer base through cross-selling. This means deepening their relationships and increasing the revenue they generate from each existing customer. How? By selling them more services beyond just the initial one, usually uniforms. This is a huge opportunity, as penetration rates for many of their ancillary services like first aid, safety, or fire protection are often surprisingly low, often below 20% even among their uniform customers. The first aid and safety segment, which consistently grows at double-digit rates, is a prime example of this strategy's success. It perfectly leverages those existing customer relationships and the established route infrastructure to add more value and more revenue per stop.
So land with one service and expand with more. Makes perfect sense. And beyond this organic growth, Syntus is also a major player in consolidating its industry through strategic acquisitions, right? Buying up smaller players.
Absolutely. They don't just buy companies randomly. They integrate them in a way that fuels their core advantages and enhances that existing competitive moat. Their approach is highly synergistic. Acquiring local operators allows Syntus to immediately absorb those new customers into their existing, highly efficient routes. This leads to significant cost savings and margin improvement almost instantly because they often don't need whole new fleets of trucks or drivers, just more stops added to the existing optimized routes. Fiscal 2025 was actually a particularly active year for their M&A team. Excluding that transformative, much larger G&K acquisition back in 2017, it was their largest M&A spending year in nearly two decades. They spent over $230 million on what they describe as bolt-on deals, smaller, digestible acquisitions. And these acquisitions spanned across all of their route-based segments, adding new customers, sometimes new service capabilities, and extending their geographic density. This ability to consistently consolidate the fragmented market is directly enabled by their rock-solid balance sheet and that impressive free cash flow generation. They have the financial firepower to keep doing this.
So they grow organically, and they grow by buying up the competition. A powerful combination.
Exactly. And it's not just about growing revenue either way. It's about growing profit margins alongside it. Syntus has a very clear stated financial goal here. They aim to achieve incremental operating margins of 20% to 30%.
Okay, let's break that down. Incremental operating margin.
Yeah.
This means that for every new dollar of revenue they bring in, whether organic or acquired, they aim to convert 20 to 30 cents of that dollar into operating profit.
Precisely. That's truly excellent operating leverage, showing how efficient their model is at scaling. It's what you love to see as an investor or just a curious observer of great businesses profit growing faster than sales.
Definitely. How do they achieve that?
Well, it's through several key initiatives we've touched on. The continued rollout of their Smart Truck platform for ongoing route optimization is a big one. Implementing more advanced auto sortation systems in their processing plants to boost efficiency and reduce labor costs, and pursuing other supply chain cost-saving initiatives like garment sharing programs, which extend the usable life of uniforms and reduce replacement costs. These ongoing efforts to optimize processes, leverage technology, and just run tighter ships are expected to be a continued source of margin improvement into the future, driving profitability higher even as they continue to expand their top line.
So they grow, they consolidate, they get more efficient. It really does sound like a beautifully oiled machine.
Yeah.
But how do they use all that impressive cash flow, that $1.6 billion in free cash flow they generated last year? Where does it go? How does it reward shareholders?
Syntus has a very clear and importantly consistently disciplined philosophy on how it deploys its capital. They lay it out quite clearly. It's truly about balancing long-term growth with consistent shareholder returns. Their first priority is always to invest in organic growth. Makes sense, right? Feed the core business. This means reinvesting back into the business through capital expenditures, that CapEx we mentioned, for growth, innovation, and enhancing efficiency. that $408.9 million in fiscal 2025, about 4.0% of their revenue, falls into this bucket. The second priority is to pursue strategic acquisitions funding those bolt-on deals we discussed that enhance route density and market position, effectively buying more customers for their existing routes. Only after these first two growth-focused priorities are addressed do they move to the third, paying a growing dividend. They are deeply committed to providing a reliable and, crucially, increasing dividend to their shareholders, reflecting the predictability and strength of their cash flows. And finally, priority number four, they use any remaining free cash flow for share repurchases, buying back their own stock. In fiscal 2025 alone, Syntys has deployed over $1.5 billion towards those last two priorities, dividends and share buybacks, demonstrating a very strong, tangible commitment to returning capital directly to their owners.
Okay, and this next point is a huge signal of stability and commitment to shareholders, something not many companies can claim. Syntys is a dividend aristocrat. For those unfamiliar, that's a pretty exclusive club. It's a special designation given to companies in the S&P 500 index that have increased their dividend for at least 25 consecutive years. Straight. It shows incredible financial discipline and a truly resilient business model. Syntys has an even more impressive record. They have increased their annual dividend every single year since going public way back in 1983. That's over 40 years.
40 consecutive years of dividend increases. That's remarkable consistency.
It really is. Their latest move was a 15.4% increase in their quarterly cash dividend announced just in July 2025. This incredible streak speaks volumes about the predictability and resilience of their business model through thick and thin. And it's sustainable, too. Their dividend payout ratio, the percentage of earnings paid out as dividends, is approximately 35%, which is quite healthy. It allows for both a meaningful return to shareholders and leaves plenty of capital available for reinvestment and future growth opportunities.
Absolutely. And beyond those dividends, Syntys actively engages in robust share repurchase programs. They systematically buy back their own stock from the open market. This reduces the number of shares outstanding. Fewer shares mean each remaining share represents a slightly larger piece of the company and gets a bigger slice of the earnings pie, which, all else being equal, boosts earnings per share for the remaining shares, making each share potentially more valuable over time. In fiscal 2025, for instance, Syntys purchased 3.8 million shares for a total of $679.3 million. That's significant buying pressure, and this is an ongoing commitment. The board of directors periodically authorizes substantial new repurchase programs, including new $1.0 billion programs announced in July 2022 and again just recently in July 2024. Clearly signaling their continued dedication to this method of shareholder return, it's another important way they compound value for their long-term owners.
Okay, grow the business, grow the dividend, buy back stock. It certainly sounds like a near-perfect business recipe on paper. But, as we know, no company operates in a vacuum, and no company's without challenges or risks. It's never that simple. So what are the potential headwinds Syntys faces? And maybe more importantly, for someone looking at it today, what does the market expect from Syntys given its current valuation? It trades pretty richly.
That's the key question. And you're right, while Syntys has performed exceptionally well, it has navigated and continues to navigate a dynamic environment, just like any large enterprise. One key area of pressure, certainly over the last few years, has been the labor market and wage inflation. The tight labor market created real challenges in attracting and retaining talent for crucial roles, especially those route service representatives, the face of the company, and the production employees in their laundries. This inevitably leads to upward pressure on wages and benefits costs, which, if not managed very carefully or passed on through pricing, can impact margins. Similarly, supply chain and input cost inflation is another ongoing area of exposure. Like many industrial companies, Syntys faces rising costs for raw materials, cotton, polyester for uniforms, finished products from its global supply chain, and significantly, energy and fuel for its massive vehicle fleet. Fluctuations in gasoline and natural gas prices directly impact their profitability. However, what's really notable, as we've discussed, is Syntys' ability to actually expand margins during this recent inflationary period, which strongly suggests they have significant pricing power and highly effective cost management disciplines, allowing them to offset those increases and find internal efficiencies. That ability to pass on costs is a sign of strength.
Definitely. We also saw unique post-COVID demand patterns. While the initial heightened focus on hygiene and PPE provided a nice tailwind for some of their services, that demand has normalized somewhat as the immediate crisis passed. However, the underlying structural shift towards a greater emphasis on cleanliness, safety, and employee well-being in the workplace, that is likely to be a lasting positive for the entire industry, creating a higher baseline for demand going forward. Finally, there's always economic uncertainty. It looms over every business. Syntus's performance is naturally correlated with overall business activity and employment levels. Fewer workers mean less need for uniforms and services. So, a severe prolonged recession with widespread job losses would certainly impact demand. While management has noted minimal changes in customer behavior recently, they do acknowledge the broader market uncertainty. Their fiscal 2026 guidance, for instance, explicitly assumes no significant economic disruption, indicating they're cautiously optimistic but very aware of the macro environment risks.
Okay, so those are some of the recent headwinds. What about the key risk factors going forward? For you as a learner looking at the full picture, what are the things Syntas must continuously manage to maintain its strong position?
Right. Thinking about the future, there are several categories of risk. On the business and operational risk side, there's that economic sensitivity. A severe downturn hitting employment and causing business closures would directly impact them. There's ongoing competition. Aggressive pricing or maybe innovative service offerings from Aramark, UniFirst, or even disruptive regional players could pressure their market share and profitability. You can never count competitors out. Input cost volatility is a constant concern. Sustained sharp increases in labor, energy, or raw materials that they can't fully offset by price increases. That could definitely squeeze margins. Their acquisition integration strategy, while generally successful, always carries risk. Failure to realize the promised synergies or operational disruptions from integrating newly acquired businesses can happen. They also rely on a complex global network of suppliers, so supply chain disruptions, whether from geopolitical instability, natural disasters, trade disputes, could affect product availability and cost. And like any large technology-dependent company today, cybersecurity threats are a major and growing risk. The breach could lead to operational disruption, data compromise, significant financial costs, and reputational damage.
Okay, those are operational. What about financial risks?
On the financial risks front, while Syntas manages its indebtedness very prudently and maintains that strong investment grade rating, debt is still debt. It can limit flexibility, especially if interest rates rise significantly. Interest rate fluctuations could increase the cost of their existing variable rate debt or make issuing new debt more expensive in the future. And a credit rating downgrade, however unlikely it seems right now, could also increase their borrowing costs down the line. Finally, there are always legal and regulatory risks. Syntas is subject to a wide array of government regulations, environmental, employment, health, safety, transportation. Changes in these regulations could increase their compliance costs or impose new restrictions on their operations. Litigation is just a regular part of doing business for a company of this size, but adverse outcomes in major lawsuits could potentially have a material impact. And of course, significant tax law changes in the U.S. or Canada could affect their effective tax rate and ultimately their net income. It's a complex web of potential challenges they navigate constantly.
It really highlights that even for a dominant company, there are always things to watch out for. Which brings us to that crucial question you raised, the valuation. Does Syntas' current stock price fairly reflect its quality and growth prospects? Because as you said, the market clearly values Syntas very highly.
Yeah, this is where the rubber meets the road for potential investors or even just observers trying to understand market dynamics. Syntas consistently trades at a significant premium, not just to its direct peers, but also, notably, compared to its own historical averages. For example, as of mid-2025, its trailing 12-month price-to-earnings ratio, the PE, is hovering around 49 times earnings. That's high. Its enterprise value to EBITDA multiple, or EBITDA, which is often a preferred metric because it strips out financing and accounting differences, giving a cleaner comparison of core business value is around 33 to 34 times, also very high. And its price to free cash flow is about 48 times. Now, compare that to its peers. UniFirst TTM EBITDA is way down in the 9-11 times range. Aramark's is around 13-14 times. Huge difference, and maybe even more telling. Syntas's current EBITDA of roughly 34 times is significantly higher than its own 10-year median multiple, which is closer to 21.3 times. So it's expensive even relative to its own history.
Okay, so that's a very clear premium. Why are investors willing to pay such a high price for Syntas, especially when its peers trade at much, much lower valuations? What's the bullish argument?
Well, the bullish perspective, why investors are optimistic and willing to pay up, argues that this premium is justified by several undeniable factors we've discussed. They're consistently higher growth compared to peers, both organic and through acquisition. They're dramatically superior profitability, with operating margins more than double competitors. That's quality you pay for. They're stronger returns on equity and invested capital, showing efficient use of shareholder money. Plus, those defensive characteristics, stemming from that incredibly predictable recurring revenue and high customer retention, Those are incredibly valuable attributes, especially in uncertain economic times. Investors pay a premium for perceived safety and predictability. Essentially, the market sees Syntys as a best-in-class operator with a wide, durable moat and a long runway for compounding growth. It's viewed as a compounder.
Okay, that's the bull case. What's the other side? The bearish view on that high valuation.
Right, there's always another side. From a bearish perspective, meaning why some might be more cautious or think it's overvalued, the argument centers on a few key points. First, the current multiples are indeed at the very high end of Syntys' historical range, as we saw. That suggests it might be stretched valuation-wise. Second, this high valuation implies that the market has incredibly high expectations built in. It essentially prices in several years of continued strong execution and exceptional performance. There's very little margin for error or safety. So third, there's a real risk of significant downside volatility if things don't go perfectly. If growth were to decelerate even slightly, if margins were to compress unexpectedly due to cost pressures, or if broader market sentiment simply shifts away from rewarding these high multiple growth stocks, you could see a significant valuation derating where the multiple contracts sharply, causing the stock price to fall even if the underlying business is still doing okay. It's like buying a high-performance sports car, as the analogy goes. It's amazing, but you're paying a premium for that expected future performance, and there's less room for error if it doesn't quite deliver.
That makes sense. High expectations mean a higher risk if they stumble.
Okay, so ultimately, for you as a learner trying to synthesize all this, what are the big picture drivers, the catalysts, or the potential derailers for Syntys' future success? Boiling it down.
Sure. On the key catalyst side, what could drive the stock higher or accelerate growth? One could be an accelerated outsourcing trend among small and medium-sized businesses, perhaps spurred by ongoing labor shortages or complexity, significantly expanding their addressable market even faster than expected. Another could be a major strategic acquisition, maybe something larger than the typical bolt-ons, if well executed, that could materially increase their scale, density, and earnings power more quickly. And third, sustained margin expansion driven by continued efficiency gains from technology, perhaps exceeding even the company's own bullish expectations, which could drive even higher profitability and cash flow, justifying the premium valuation.
And the key risks that could derail the story. On the flip side, the key risks to watch out for. First and foremost, a severe economic recession. A deep, prolonged downturn with widespread job losses would almost certainly impact their revenue base as businesses cut back or close down. That's the biggest macro risk. Second, an inability to manage costs effectively in a sustained inflationary environment. If they suddenly found they couldn't offset rising labor and energy costs with price increases, that could lead to margin compression, which the market would not like. And finally, that valuation derating risk we just discussed. Simply put, a failure to meet those very high growth and profitability expectations that are currently baked into its stock price could lead to significant multiple contraction and stock underperformance, even if the underlying business remains fundamentally healthy.
Got it. Catalysts and risks, always two sides to the coin.
Exactly. So we've gone from what Syntys does, this seemingly simple business, to how it dominates its industry through things like route density, how it makes money so profitably, how it plans to keep growing, and importantly, what could potentially derail it or challenge that high valuation. It's a complex picture, for sure, but one with undeniable strengths and some really fascinating operational insights into building a durable business.
What a deep dive. Seriously fascinating. We've seen how Syntys, a company you might only recognize from its omnipresent delivery trucks, has built this incredibly robust, resilient business model. From its unparalleled route density and that incredible stickiness with customers, to its relentless focus on operational efficiency, increasingly driven by strategic technology investments, it's really a fantastic case study in how to build a dominant, resilient enterprise, even in a seemingly mundane traditional industry. It truly shows that innovation and competitive advantage aren't just reserved for flashy tech startups.
I agree. What's particularly fascinating here, I think, is that even in this mature industry, Syntys demonstrates that pure operational excellence, combined with structural advantages like high switching costs and the smart strategic use of technology, can create a business that consistently outperforms and generates significant value for decades. It's not always about inventing something brand new. Sometimes it's about being exceptionally effective, maybe the best in the world, at providing essential, high-quality service reliably. They've truly mastered the fundamentals of their business and built this incredibly strong fortress around them.
So what does this all mean for you listening in? Maybe that's a reminder, perhaps, that sometimes the most powerful, most successful businesses aren't the flashiest ones grabbing the headlines. But maybe they're the ones, like Cintas, that expertly manage the unseen foundational needs of almost every other business out there. It definitely makes you wonder, what other overlooked everyday services might hold such profound economic advantages just beneath the surface, waiting for a deep dive?
That's a great closing thought. As you go about your day now, perhaps you'll look at the uniforms people wear, or the floor mats in a building entrance, or even the first aid kit on the wall, with maybe a new understanding of the intricate, high-value, and highly competitive ecosystem that Cintas has built to provide those things. And this raises that important question you posed. What other seemingly mundane aspects of our economy might be ripe for a deep dive? What other businesses are revealing hidden strengths and surprising insights that we often just take for granted in our daily lives? Food for thought.